Dave Strausser. I'm the University of Illinois Department of Kinesiology and Community Health, and thank you again for sticking around. Our research colleague of mine, Dr. Diane Smith, who's also in my department, we were looking at exploratory analysis to look at the impact of different types of abuse, physical and sexual abuse primarily, on the employment of individuals with disabilities. And I want to spend a little bit of time here in our short time just discussing why we feel that this is a very important issue that needs to be addressed really from a public health perspective. Research has suggested that individuals with disabilities have a greater chance of experiencing physical and sexual abuse when compared to their non-disabled counterparts. That's true for both men and women, but women are at particular risk, and we are also doing a concurrent study looking at the impact of abuse, particularly related to women. But this particular study, we looked at both men and women because it impacts both. In addition, that research has suggested not only are individuals with disabilities at risk for experiencing abuse, but they're also at increased risk for experiencing all three types of abuse simultaneously or over the course of their life. So they're not just at risk for one, but they're at risk for experiencing all three. This area of research regarding abuse in individuals with disability has increased over the last 10 years. There has been more studies. Most of the studies have been qualitative in nature, looking at interviewing women and men who have experienced violence, who might have sought treatment for that. No real quantitative work has been done in this area. There's still a low number of studies being done. And there's several theories that have been floated around from different researchers on why this is the case. And the one that has the most traction or the most relevance is that there's still reluctance from both researchers and clinicians to want to address this issue and address the issue of abuse with individuals with disabilities. And a large part of that has been suggested that is due to their decreased social role, that they have some devaluation, some lower social role, and as a result, they don't tend to think of abuse being related to disability, just like in many areas they don't think of sex being related to disability or sexual issues and disability, drug issues and disability. So this tends to be kind of perpetuated as an area of neglect as far as the research and clinical treatment and help. In the general abuse literature, when we look at domestic violence as a primary example, on one way to reduce the risk of domestic violence or help individuals escape a violent cycle is to help them become more economically viable, more of an economic participant in the labor market. And therefore, economic dependence has been identified as being a key factor related to abuse and perpetuating abusive relationships. Areas related to that of when a person is economically dependent on an abuser or perpetrator of abuse is they tend to have a lack of viable living arrangements or alternatives. They tend to also have decreased work performance. And they've also has been shown that perpetrators of violence many times can threaten the workforce and become issues in the workplace that further perpetuates their inability to become economically self-sufficient. In a related line of research that we've conducted, we've looked at trauma symptoms, and certainly the connection is there. Individuals who are experience abuse are more likely to experience trauma and trauma-related symptoms. And our research has also suggested that trauma symptoms or PTSD, PTSD-related symptoms, that as individuals experience an increase in trauma symptoms, they also experience a significant decrease in effective work behaviors and career-related behaviors. So there's a very significant link here between the experience of PTSD and PTSD-type symptoms and decreased work behavior. In related to individuals with disabilities as a whole, individuals with disabilities tend to experience a high rate of unemployment. We know that. They have inequitable pay, lack of health care, encounter many times problems trying to enter the workplace. And many times when they do work, they don't have a sustainable livable wage. And they have don't have access to the same type of wages and benefits. And as a result, there's been a tremendous amount of research put into place to increase the economic opportunities for individuals with disabilities. And one thing I don't have up here on the slide is, even though there's been this tremendous emphasis on increasing the employment of people with disabilities, research would suggest that over the last 10 to 15 years, really since the passage of the ADA, employment has not increased for individuals with disabilities. This all relates to the fact that if increasing economic self-sufficiency is one way to break the cycle of violence, and research is suggesting that women with disabilities are economically dependent, is what is the actual impact of abuse, experiencing abuse, on the unemployment rate of individuals with disabilities? And we feel that this is a very important area of research, and it's important to, as this study I think does, and others, a couple other studies we're doing, is just provide the foundational research foundational analysis for future research. And as we said before, this is an exploratory study trying to really identify what are the risk factors and how does abuse interact with employment. Our research question was basically very, very simple. Is there a difference in the likelihood of unemployment between individuals with disabilities and their non-disabled counterparts for the following types of abuse, sexual abuse, physical abuse, attempted violence, and physical threat? A secondary question that we have, that we address, that I do not have up on the slide, is looking at, is there a difference, and I think this is a very important question too, is there a difference between individuals with disabilities who have experienced abuse versus who have not experienced abuse? Is the unemployment rate different for that disability group? And I'll give you some numbers on that as well. For our methodology, we used the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System from 1995 to 2002 from the Center for Disease Control. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about that particular data set. Some of you are probably familiar with it. You can certainly get more information about that from their website. But basically, the BRFSS tracks health behaviors, risk factors, and health status of non-institutionalized adults age 18 and older. Want to spend a little bit of time of how we defined and operationalized our variables and how the data set is defined as far as the different terminology that is used. Physical threat was defined. Somebody who was identified as saying that they experienced a physical threat endorsed the question, yes or no, as yes, to has an intimate partner ever threatened you with physical violence. Attempted violence was endorsing yes to has an intimate partner ever attempted physical violence against you. Physical abuse was identified as determined by yes response to has an intimate partner ever hit, slapped, pushed, kicked, or physically hurt you. And then our disability was determined by activity limitation. Basic question was asked, do you currently experience a limitation in physical activity? Talk a little bit about that and some limitations. That in and of itself is one of the inherent limitations of the study, but it is has been found to be a robust indicator of disability status. To determine the likelihood of whether or not violence and physical abuse, sexual abuse, it was related to unemployment or increased unemployment, we did a logistic regression looking at odds ratios. We also constructed confidence intervals for each of the analyses. I'm going to show you some tables in a minute here, but overall, our results suggest that people with disabilities who experience abuse are much more likely to be unemployed than their non-disabled counterparts for all types of abuse except for attempted violence. Another finding that we have here is that individuals with disabilities who report experiencing abuse, when compared to individuals with disabilities who do not experience abuse, also reported or had significantly higher rates of unemployment. And here's just a first table. Okay, thank you. Our first table, kind of looking at things here, and you can see the significant difference, just proportions of employment, except for the attempted violence area. Then on this slide here, I want to just go down to the bottom. When we look at activity limitation, that's our disability. For individuals with disabilities who've ever had, who report being sexually abused, they're 3 times more likely to be unemployed than their non-disabled counterparts. Individuals with disabilities who've ever experienced physical violence are approximately 3 times more likely to be unemployed than their non-disabled counterparts. Let me just add here, let me go back to this one real quickly and give you some numbers that I don't have on the slide, and I apologize for that, related to the odds ratios for comparing it to disabled individuals who do not have, do not report being experiencing abuse. Compared to non-disabled individuals, it's 3.16. Compared to disabled individuals who do not, who report not having experienced abuse, the odds ratio is 2.03. So they're about twice as high as their disabled counterparts who have not experienced abuse. For physical abuse, you see the ratio there; it's almost 3 to 1. For their non-disabled, for their disabled counterparts, it's 2.04. For ever attempting the violence. Compared to non-disabled non-disabled individuals, 3.15. Compared to the disability, individuals with disabilities who have not experienced violence, 2.22. And then our last one is looking at the threat of 3.20 for the disability group. When compared to individuals with disabilities who have not experienced abuse, it's again about 2.09. Let me just conclude by giving what are some of our recommendations on this are. We certainly feel that this data suggests that individuals with disability, for individuals with disabilities, their employment is significantly impacted by their experience of abuse. This is a public health issue that needs to be, become more of a forefront issue for policymakers, clinicians, healthcare providers. Screening interventions are certainly merited as far as looking at abuse for individuals with disabilities. This should be something that is on the mind of healthcare providers, and the healthcare providers need to be aware of the signs of abuse, especially for individuals with disabilities, because this is often overlooked. And I'll end there. Thank you.